Welcome into the CHGO White Sox podcast. I'm your host, Sean Anderson, coming to you live from Studio A of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. Alongside me, the full CHGO White Sox crew. That is Vinny Duber. You can follow him at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. And the man in the middle is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him at Ecknerwall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. You can follow the show at CHGO underscore White Sox. We're being produced today by Sarah.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
Did you enjoy Monster Jam?
Yes.
Yes. All right.
I was going to say,
was Monster Mutt Dalmatian the best driver?
I was going to say, they're still our sponsors. So, yes, it was great.
Wow.
It was great.
Make sure you hit the thumbs up button. Make sure you subscribe. And if you got any comments.
Hogan went too.
What?
Adam Hogan, his full family went to Monster Jam.
I mean, the kids love that.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Maybe it's more for Hogue's kids and rather.
Yeah, I think the kids do love it.
They do. Yeah. I've seen multiple people that I know in multiple states have gone to that with their young children.
And did you see?
Children are, they're just locked in.
Did you see the driver of Monster Mutt Dalmatian?
I mean, I saw the car, the picture of the car.
Okay, but you,
I did not see the driver. No.
Herb tagged you in something, and it's literally someone on Twitter with their kid.
Yeah.
And Monster
I saw that
Mutt
picture, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did you see the hoodie she's wearing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is the full dog.
As predicted.
As predicted. I mean, we got to, I know we have new merch, and maybe we should push our own merch rather than the Monster Mutt Dalmatian hoodie, but it doesn't exist. She has it. Maybe it's a team only, you know, a team exclusive.
Okay. I got the Scooby-Doo shirt.
You did?
It was my favorite driver, the Scooby-Doo girl. She was awesome.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Please wear the Scooby-Doo shirt to work. Slush Poppy in the comments is saying, love that shirt, Sean. We did launch our new collection. So if you do want to go get a sweet shirt like this, go check out the collection. I have been told that the shirt that I was given, it will be a different green and a smaller logo. And that apparently I wasn't supposed to wear this shirt. And I found out once I was wearing the shirt.
So. It's fine. But make sure you order it now so you can get it in time for St. Patrick's Day celebrations.
Absolutely.
It's on a Sunday, too. So you know that Friday, that Saturday, Sunday, you're like, I already got a green shirt. Hey, man, you got 3 days to party that day.
You might want to buy three green shirts.
Damn right.
I mean, that one by Friday is going to be ruined. So
I think I'm going to the river this year.
Have you ever
I've only been one time before, and when I showed up, it was already done. So it was great. You know what I mean? It was a beautiful day. The sun was shining. Don't know if we'll be that lucky this year. But I got to see the finished product. I want to go see the transformation this year, so I'm going to go early.
Is that on the 17th?
It's on the 16th. They do it on the Saturday all the time.
Ooh, a nice 41 and cloudy.
Hey,
all right.
Hey, a lot better than 20 and
I'll have to wear my green one of these.
Absolutely. But yeah, go check out that Chicago collection. I ordered the train and pizza hoodies, and I'm very excited about that. So if you do like the merch, go support it. Let's talk a little bit about Garrett Crochet on this episode. You put out your White Sox Weekly, where you dive into the roster projections. I have thoughts. I think Herb has thoughts. So we'll share those with you. But first, you spent a lot of time working on our baseball guide for 2024. So if you are a diehard, if you haven't, you can sign up today at allchgo.com, gain access to our CHGO White Sox season guide that Vinny put together. I do find it funny that you were like, hey, help me out, you know, put in all this biographical information, and then we get rid of the height and weight thing. So, I could have just saved so much time.
But, hey, now you probably have a nice recall of the listed heights of many White Sox players.
Well, Michael Kopech is listed at 240, but he gained 25 pounds last year and then lost 10 pounds, I think. So, does that make him 250? I don't want to guess his weight. What if he's 240?
I don't know. That's not something that I could do at a carnival.
No, you guess someone's weight. Yeah. 190.
For me?
Yeah.
You're very close.
Bingo. Look at that.
Keep on going. Go. Keep on going.
For you?
Yeah.
Oh.
You're going to go way short. Go bigger than you're thinking right
no,
now.
No. Go short. It'll be a compliment.
Well, you're not tall.
You can't insult me. Come on.
You're not tall.
Yeah.
Mm. 245.
Oh, my God, Sean. I said go deep. No.
Go deep?
Go longer,
deeper
higher.
Deeper than that?
Oh, my God, Sean. Yeah.
Honestly, you don't look over 250.
I am. It's like 295, Sean.
Really?
Yeah. I pack it in here.
All right. I mean,
right
but
in
like,
middle section.
You kind of pack it in like a lineman. Like, you do kind of, you know, pack it in more like Jason Kelce than like a normal 290.
I'm like a, Yeah, like a barrel.
Congratulations. All right. But let's show you a little bit of the season guide. We'll go through some of the players and let you know what you can be getting. If you are a diehard, you can go click on the link. I think Kevin pinned it in our Discord channel, so you can go check that out if you are looking through. But Vinny put a little profile for each player, so you can go through and check out basically a write-up on each player. There's an outlook from 2023 and a prediction for 2024. But if you aren't a diehard, you do need access to that guide to actually be able to view it. So if you do want to check this out, make sure that you go sign up today to become a diehard. But the season guide does just allow you to do whatever you want. Like, you're able to go through and check out the outlooks for Dylan Cease, Luis Robert. As we pull this up, was there a person that really jumped out doing the season guide that you maybe forgot about and was like, oh, hey, you know, here comes a good 2024?
No, I think what I will say, though, is like a lot of the guys who were in the minor leagues last year, it's interesting to go through and see what they did in the minor leagues. You know what I mean? Certainly, Sarah's showing you Eric Fetty right now. That's a guy who didn't play Major League Baseball last year. And so it's nice to kind of know, have a little bit of a base of knowledge of what he's done in the past as he goes into this season. But, you know, for me, it was a lot of the minor league guys, a lot of the guys who might not be on the opening day roster, but you're probably going to see throughout the year. And I think that's a really cool thing about this database is, you know, throughout the rest of the spring, say you've got a one of the few games that are going to be televised the rest of the way, say you got him on and it's the seventh inning and the White Sox send, I don't even know who up to the plate, you know, Braden Shoemake, let's say, and you're like, wow, I don't know anything about Braden Shoemake. You can go click on this, find out what he did last year in the minor leagues for the Braves, figure out kind of a little bit more about the guy, and you know, that kind of thing can be helpful. It's not just a one time, all right, I got to go through here and cram study for an exam so I know all these White Sox players the rest of the spring. If you see, you know, somebody tweet something from Arizona about so-and-so, Pedro Grifol has good things to say about Jared Schuster. You can go, and I'm not purposely picking guys who are just all in the same trade, but you could go look and see what that guy has done in the past and what it might inform for the future. And then, like I said, opening day roster comes out. Baseball is baseball, and it's only going to be about a week or a week and a half until the first roster move is made in terms of bringing somebody up from the minor leagues. You can have that at your fingertips and be like, oh, yeah, I remember when we first heard about that guy when they picked him up on a waiver claim. You know, Alex Spies was picked up on a waiver claim in October. What did he do last year? I got it all here, nice and nice, easy to click format for you.
I like how you embedded the interviews or the stories you've written about these players also. So if you have missed any of the stories that Vinny's done through spring training and beyond, you can catch right up there, right there, as you're a diehard.
And later, today, we might be talking about Justin Anderson or Dominic Leone or Corey Knebel. So, like you mentioned, you can check in. Also, why did we get rid of the S? There was an S bullet, wasn't there?
It was two.
I think when it's facing the host, like it was facing Herb and Vinny yesterday, I'm pretty sure it was an S.
It's in the chair over there.
Oh, okay. We put it in
the
timeout.
The one is down there still in the little stairwell for our first birthday last year.
You should have a graveyard of numbers down there.
Just once you're done, you just go down to the stairs. Yeah, the
birthday balloon dumping ground.
The birthday's over. I mean,
and it's still working. Like, it's true. It didn't have helium in it, but it's still like inflated.
It was yesterday. I mean, it's
no,
not
I'm
like,
saying the one is still inflated from last year.
You think it actually has helium in it still?
No, it doesn't. Oh, okay. I don't even think these balloons have helium in them. They're just regular ass air.
Sarah, if you want to find out, I mean, we could see if they have helium in there.
And helium, I heard, is like, it's not a resource that can be easily replicated. Once we're done with helium, we're out.
And so, we've been using it to inflate balloons
forever.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
That's some real human race stuff right there.
Yeah. I really hope that's not like an important element.
It's the second one.
No, no.
H, right?
But isn't that supposed to mean it's
H-E.
Is it supported by...
I failed it.
Sorted by...
The number of electrons it's got.
Oh, okay.
Each atom has.
It's not plentifulness or,
no.
or weight. Okay, I don't know anything about science. And if I do know anything about science, it's because Brian Bannister explained it to me. And then Sheem sifted wakes. I think that's the only scientific thing I know. I don't know. All right. Before we get into the show and Garrett Crochet's plan for spring training, Vinny also published an article yesterday about the Royal connection that we've been seeing so much about. There was a exclusive quote in there from Dayton Moore as well. I know this
from J.J. Piccolo.
Oh, J.J. Piccolo.
Yes.
Oh. Mike Pettit, the other Royal guy.
Dayton Moore, it gets mentioned multiple times, but yeah. I did not talk to him at Cactus League Media Day.
I think Pedro brought him up. But yeah, I don't think he's employed anymore. But I think
he's
said
down
this.
In Texas. He's working with Chris Young down in Texas, I believe. As an advisor of some sort. Yeah.
Well, he did a good job. The team was all right. But I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like you've mentioned that the whole Royal connection is one of the most annoying things of the offseason.
Well, I have, but here's the thing. Whether the jokes are, whether I'm sick of the jokes or not, it remains a talking point, you know, and certainly the White Sox and the people and players they've brought in, you know, and continue to bring in, continue to keep it a talking point. But, you know, I thought, hey, people keep talking about this. Why don't we actually find out why they're doing this, what is behind the idea of bringing in, particularly when it comes to the front office, some of the guys that Chris Getz worked with in the past or has knowledge of working with in the past from his days in Kansas City. And I just thought it was a good thing for people to read about and hear the quotes. And you get Chris Getz in there saying that when it comes to players, he's not thinking about where they've played before, but he admits that it is a way for him to have more knowledge about a certain guy. He was talking about Mike Moustakas specifically in that quote. Now, I can tell from all the Twitter replies that I got that no one really bothered, not many people bothered clicking on this story, but you should. It's free. You can go read it. It gives some interesting insight, I think, into what was obviously a trend of the offseason, whether it was a trend for just creating social media jokes or a trend because of the actual personnel decisions that were made. And so as Chris Getz kind of starts going here on trying to turn the organization around, here's the people that he's brought in, whether they're in the front office, whether they're on the coaching staff, whether on the roster, to try to help him do that. You've seen a lot of Royals. Here's the explanation as to why maybe that is not the negative thing that a lot of fans have had jumped to mind.
If you are a person that likes to joke about that, remember, Brian Bannister, former Royal. So if you're positive about him, we wouldn't have got him if he wasn't a Royal.
Boy, Bo Jackson,
former Royal.
Hey, yeah. I mean, shit. and then as a writer, when you hear a quote, like you have in the story from Nicky Lopez, and he says, but what we're trying to do, or what we're trying to build, is playing fast.
Yes.
Do you have to make the choice to capitalize that as the acronym, like how, because fast is very common.
Well, what I'll say is that some behind the scenes, I'm sure this is going to be very interesting for everybody. Earlier in that interview with Nicky Lopez, I asked him about Pedro Grifols' playing fast message, which was very specifically a reference to the all caps version of the word fast. And so later in the interview, I asked him this question for this story, and he referenced playing fast. So I assumed he was talking about the same thing.
Hey, Yonder Alonso, I believe it was, when the 30 teams and 15 days for MLB Network asked Andrew Vaughn what he's doing this offseason. He said, you know, just trying to hit better and also getting fast. So I'm damn sure he wasn't talking about his speed.
Does that mean he's not eating for a long time? Or?
Yeah. So I think they're just repeating the company line.
On day one, though, on day one, when you had all the interviews from all the hitters that showed up, or, I mean, Vaughn, I guess, had been there, but Vaughn said he tried to lose weight and get faster.
I mean, you've seen him play. If you're trying to improve something that you don't do well, that is something he does not do well, is run quickly. He's like, I'm not slamming him. He runs faster than I do, but you know, it's something, if you can work on it, why not work on it? It's an area that needs improvement, right?
Like 25 too.
I hope it's functional.
No major injuries.
Yeah, it's functional speed, like cutting bases better, or you know, breaking down the line a little faster after you hit the ball. Those type of things. I don't need him to be a speed burner or trying to get bases. I know what he, you know, just trying to get that little advantage from being one of the slowest players in baseball to being, you know, just a moderate first baseman who's kind of slow.
Well, and let's remember, too, Pedro Grifols numerous times has told us in the beginning of camp that, you know, this is not about speed, right? Like, he wants Martin Maldonado to play fast with his all caps. It doesn't mean he needs to run quickly because he's not going to be able to. But I think, you know, there is an element to this whole, or under the play fast umbrella, if you will, that does have to do with base running and making it so you're driving teams a little bit crazy. When I talked to John Brebbia about the Diamondbacks, it was, oh man, this guy's going to steal a base on me. This guy's going to steal a base on me. Part of the way that they made life hell for other teams was to be fast, run quickly, and do that kind of thing. But Pedro is emphasizing that this is a kind of a overarching mantra for the entire team. It's fits into that nice little acronym for him. It doesn't necessarily mean foot speed all the time.
And yeah, thinking back to playing RBI baseball with Eduardo Perez and picking the Cardinals and treating fast. But even with Vaughn too, StatCast tells us that he has gotten slower. He was always feet per second wise above 26 feet per second. And last year he was at 25 and a half. So lost a considerable amount of speed there. And then you can also see it in the home plate to first run, 4.66 in 2021. 4.71 in 2022, and then a jump to 4.79. So it's been getting worse, and also the jump between, you know, 0.66 and 0.71 is, I think, bigger than the 8 that goes from 0.71 to 0.79. So he has just gotten slower, and then also, too, his ability to advance, his advance opportunities, how often does this runner attempt to advance? I don't know if Joe McEwing was just very aggressive, but his advance attempt percent, 33%, 28, 24. So he's just been less aggressive as well, and maybe that's because of his foot speed. So,
well, and I'll mention too, Herb, you did say that he's had no major injuries, and that's true, but this is a guy who for years now we've been talking about the way that particularly playing in the outfield when he maybe shouldn't have been had an effect on his legs. He was very upfront about not just in year one but also year two about getting to the end of the year kind of in good shape, and that a lot of that had to do with kind of how his legs were feeling. I think last year playing first base had a positive effect in that department, but as you mentioned, maybe some wear and tear that didn't need to be there, even if it wasn't a guy, you know, blowing his knee out or anything like that.
Yeah, and then two, White Sox Tom, or it was Matthew Cortese saying Andrew Vaughn seems disinterested in that interview that he did with Yonder Alonso that you brought up, but he looked very interested in that Paul Konerko thing.
He did.
There was a 2-minute video put out by @WhiteSox on Twitter where back in February, Andrew Vaughn went to Paul Konerko's house and worked in his cage. And I found it interesting because we started talking too about Jim Thome popping up in the dugout and how, you know, he's just been always around the White Sox organization and just helping out at spring training this year. But then you brought up the article you did with Jim Thome in 2021 about Andrew Vaughn. So I just wanted to read it a little bit. And what Thome said was
from the archives.
From the archives. He has a great approach in BP. He stays through the middle the other way. He hits balls out to left center when he needs to get to when he needs to get the bat head out there and go ahead and get after it. He hits the ball with authority. What I love about him is he's a hitter first. But he goes up there and just tries to hit the ball. His number one strength for me is his ability to hit the ball the other way, especially with guys in scoring position. And it's funny that that basically mirrors what Paul Konerko was saying. You could see Vaughn in the clip working off the tee, and every single ball that he is hitting is to right center field. Mm-hmm. Like the exact same trajectory each and every time. He's just hitting it on an absolute line. But Konerko talked about even cleaning up his leg kick. Like that was, I think, the biggest thing that we might be able to see. And now I'll go back and actually see. But Vaughn was talking about lifting his leg up and putting it knee to knee. And Konerko's like, yeah, that's not going to work. Like you got to shorten it up. But even Konerko talking, I mean, this is a guy that with 400 plus career home runs. And he was like, I was never really trying to go up there to hit a home run. Right. Maybe that is what we'll see more from Andrew Vaughn. Because he said that as well. Like, I'm not really a home run hitter. If it happens, it happens. But you know, maybe this is a guy that hits 20 homers, 25 homers like he did last year, and maybe we do see the average increase and that on-base percentage increase. But hopefully there's something able to clean up, because they said year three or year four is really when it starts to click for these guys. So
yeah,
here's Andrew Vaughn in year three.
I think Paul Konerko was around year three when he clicked because of the Dodgers, Cincinnati. Then when he came to the White Sox, I think in 1999, and then 2000, that was a great year for the whole team. But it's one of the players that I would not listen to, and it's not because Paul Konerko doesn't have a wealth of knowledge and information. Paul just, he did a lot with his swing, changing his swing to dissect what he's doing in the plate, each time he went up to the plate. And so I remember Gordon Beckham being really close to Paul Konerko, good rookie year, and then, like, you know, trying to absorb what Paul was telling him, and that doesn't work for everybody. You know, Paul's thing works for Paul Konerko, and yes, it's good to get nuggets, and that was good that Paul was like, yeah, hitting off the tee is not my thing because I think you get too much lean, and then you start getting bad habits. That's what he pretty much said to Andrew Vaughn. He's like, you know, the knee-to-knee thing, and yeah, he said it might be a little too much. He said just, you know, short, quick, in and out, you know, being a good hitter is more important than being a home run hitter. Because as you said, Sean, like, he wasn't necessarily a good hitter, but he drove the ball every time that he got it. And I don't think, you know, listening to Paul Konerko and all his adjustments that he used to do on the fly is the greatest thing for Andrew Vaughn. I think Andrew Vaughn got to the major leagues on Andrew Vaughn's strengths. And if you want to tweak some things, cool, but I think that he got there and people said he was MLB ready when he was in college for a reason. Now this fourth year where he understands what pitchers are doing and the league a little bit more, I think it might be a breakout year because he's incrementally gone up each year. I think most home runs he hit last year and most RBIs he's hit in his career were all last year.
But that's also, too, you're describing the kind of mindset that annoys folks about hitters, right, compared to pitchers. Pitchers so receptive to every little bit of advice that anybody gives. Hitters can be more stubborn and, mm-hmm. and can do what you just said. Hey, I got to the major leagues doing this. Why do I need to change it now? When really sometimes a tweak or a change might unlock something different. This is not to slam anybody that has or does work for the White Sox, but maybe Paul Konerko is the voice that Andrew Vaughn needed to hear in some very specific regard, right? And not to say that Andrew Vaughn's not a receptive guy, but we have seen in the past, we heard from Pedro Grifol at the end of last year saying that at times White Sox hitters were not receptive to what the coaches were trying to tell him. Maybe no matter where it comes from, if the White Sox can provide a resource that helps unlock something, maybe that's a good road to go down.
And most importantly, too, you mentioned the most homers and RBIs by Vaughn in 2023, also the most games, too. So almost played 162, was 10 shy of that. I also don't know if I'd listen to Paul Konerko because I just realized this. Three out of his five best seasons came when he was 34, 35, and 36. What was he on?
Life.
34, 35-year-old, and 36-year-old. 2010, 2011, 2012.
What's the matter? Are you saying that 34-year-olds can't have the best years of their life, Sean? Is that what you're saying?
Well, with your season, guy, clearly you're having one hell of a year.
Jump across this couch that we're not on.
I mean, I think AJ Brzezinski, if you want to look more to that, he had his best year when he was like 35.
Oh, okay.
But Paul, you know, AJ, he was pretty much consistently a good power hitter. AJ jumped up from like 7 home runs to like 28 in his last year as a White Sox.
I know, but like what? Paul Konerko, career OPS of 841, 847 with the White Sox, and then a OPS in 2010 of 977. What the hell are you doing?
But you remember his last 2 years, though. He fell off the table. He was terrible his last 2 years.
That's what happens with old people.
Exactly.
And he's not even old. Again, he's under 40, so I'll watch it. I'm not actually old. All right.
Baseball old. Oh, my God. That joke. Oh, my God. This guy is 32 years old. He should be digging a grave.
What a legend. All right. Let's take a break, and then we'll jump into some Garrett Crochet talk, and we'll talk about the projected opening day lineup for the Chicago White Sox. Jump into Vinny's White Sox Weekly here. But, Vin, you want to let us know about some Wisconsin innovation?
When I hear the phrase Wisconsin innovation, I think of taking a cheese curd and deep frying it. I think of taking a water park and putting it inside. And I think of taking a concrete slab on Lake Michigan and putting a bunch of rock bands on it and inviting folks from miles around. I also think, of course, of the great beer roster that they've got over at Line and Kugel's. Yes. They've got the wonderful sunset wheat that Herb is drinking right now. They've got the wonderful lakeside cherry that is populating our fridge over yonder. They've got the honey vice, which, did you know, Herb, that's made with real Wisconsin honey.
I did.
And of course, once the weather gets wonderful outside, you can go ahead and run down to wherever you can find a beer, perhaps right on our screen there, and just grab yourself a summer shandy.
Does it work like
that? I'm trying to grab it right now. Can you grab it, Sean?
They did in the commercials all the time.
I can't wait till the day that we can actually do that.
Wow, Sean's running at
like
warp
in Willy
speed
Wonka,
over there.
The original Willy Wonka, grab the chocolate bar of the TV.
Absolutely, absolutely. Sean's running so much, I don't even think it's a summer shandy, though.
No, it can't be. Not yet.
Oh, just man. This prop comedy is coming quick. There it is. Ooh, a delicious sunset wheat. It did work.
The magic of editing.
Of course, I'm saying, oh, wow, here. Now, this is a commercial.
The magic of editing.
Shandy season is almost upon us, though, folks, and so you're going to want to go sit by the lake with a cooler full of summer shandy. You're going to want to go sit at the park in the parking lot before a White Sox game with a cooler of summer shandy. You're going to want to take your canoe up to the Wisconsin waterways with a cooler of summer shandy. And, of course, one of my favorite Line and Kugel's memories, going across the border, going to Summerfest, having a nice Liney's Original, which you can only get in Wisconsin. Oh, so good. So go ahead and listen to what I have to say here that they make me say. Flavor life's simple moments with Liney Kugels, the official craft beer of the Chicago White Sox. Go to liney.com/CHGO to find delivery options near you. That's LEINIE.com/CHGO. Or pick up Liney Kugels pretty much anywhere they sell beer, like right down at the Jewels. Liney Kugels, flavor the moment. Celebrate Wisconsin. Celebrate responsibly. That's a great shirt they've got up there, by the way. You can get a shirt that says Drink Wisconsin Bly. It's pretty good. The Jacob Line and Kugel Brewing Company, Chippewa Falls. Yes.
Yes. Thank you very much, Vinny. Prize Picks are the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. They are the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. There's a Coyotes Blackhawks game tonight. I was going to say White Sox.
I thought you were just going to be like, there's Coyotes. Look out. They're roaming the streets. One is in that AT&T store on Michigan Avenue again.
Yeah. Just chilling.
Oh, no. It's Joni Mitchell's Coyote. Football season may be over. Is it the one?
Good reference.
Is it the one from Simpsons? Is it Johnny Cash?
Yeah, the Johnny Cash Coyote.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor and ice is heating up. Hopefully not too much for hockey. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for the playoff home court, there is no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. And conference tournaments are here, which mean the biggest moments in college basketball are getting closer. Be a part of the action on Prize Picks for both men's and women's college basketball. If you're excited to tune in to watch Caitlin Clark light it up, you can play along with Prize Picks, and it's just as easy as making an entry in less than 60 seconds. All you have to do, again, is pick more than or less than on two players. If you like Caitlin Clark and you want to fade somebody else on Ohio State or whatever team, you can make this super quick, and you have the skills. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Go to prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. All right, let's get into Garrett Crochet. I know you guys goo-gooed and gaga'd about him yesterday, but I would like to further...
Is that what we did?
Made baby noises? Yeah, I think it was. And I'd like to further the goo-goo and gaga'ing about Garrett Crochet. What the hell are they going to do about him? I mean, because...
We don't know. They won't tell us. And can I tell you something? I don't know if they've told Garrett Crochet. I was reading some of the write-ups from my colleagues who are still down in Arizona with quotes from Garrett after his most recent outing, and it just is kind of like, yeah, I think pitching every 5 days is going to be good for me. Like, I'm hoping this will be good. You hear from Pedro Grifol, yeah, we're giving him a chance. We're going to see what happens. Like, I think they might just still be seeing what happens, but, like, what if he stays really good? Like, do you have to kick somebody out of the rotation?
Yes.
Like, what?
Yes.
You know, what's going on here?
I think immediately in the quote, no. I mean, relax. Calm down here.
He's
never pitched over 60 innings. No. So I guess we have to take that into, accommodation. But he said it. He's going to pitch every 5 days. He might not be in the rotation, but I think it's just going to be there's six pitchers. There's 13 pitchers, right? Just two of them are for sure going to pitch every 5 days. And it might not be always Kopech and Flexen or whatever because of a day off, but I think every 5 days they're going to use Garrett Crochet, whether it's as an opener or in the bullpen. And I think he will have that break schedule of you're going to pitch 5 days and then you're going to wait. And just like a starter, you're going to be having that rest and recovery.
Well, that means they're going to have a 6-man rotation.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think
Pedro did not seem super hot on that idea early in camp.
What they've done is, I mean, we saw him open against the Dodgers, right, in this first outing, and then he came in and relieved, who made that start? Soroka, right?
Yesterday. Against the Angels?
Yeah.
Fetty, I think.
Fetty. Yeah. I think it's just going to be something like that, where if maybe they like a different matchup or something, but if it's Flexen and Crochet both on the same timeline, then you will throw them both out.
But Sean, that's not being a starter. That's being a reliever who pitches every 5 days. That's right. Being a reliever who's only available every 5 days. And that is a waste of a spot in the bullpen.
I guess.
We all know that, like, who cares if their bullpen is not good, kind of thing, right? Yeah. Like, they're not going to be a good team. That's the expectation, at least. You know, but Pedro Grifol wants a full bullpen. You know what I mean? He's going to try to win the games every night. And so to tell your manager, yeah, you only get 7 bullpen pitchers because this guy has to throw 2 innings every 5 days. Like, he can – that's not being a starter. That's not giving Crochet what he wants. That is an outcome. That is the – one of the many outcomes of this is him being a reliever, perhaps, right? But if the idea is to let him have the opportunity to turn into a starter, currently, because it's spring training, he is done – he is on that path, right? Because Eric Fetty's only thrown 2 innings right now. Dylan Cease only thrown 2 innings, that kind of thing. But once these go along more, are we going to see Garrett throw 3-4 innings at a time? Because that's what he wants to do. That's the whole point of becoming a starter, is to get throw many innings. I truly think that, like what Blank Name said, I'm not sure if they know what the plan is for Crochet. I think they have a lot of possible plans, and the idea is, well, we're going to check to see which of these are possible based on what he's doing both on the field and, more importantly, I think, in the time between off the field, how his body is recovering. But if that goes along the way that he wants it to go along, and he can, or let's put it this way, he's shown that he deserves to continue to have the opportunity to try to be a starter. That was a really Rick Renneria sentence right there. Then what do you do? Do you say, sorry, Michael Soroka, you got to go pitch in AAA because we told Garrett Crochet he could be a starter?
I don't buy that. I mean, I don't know. Because I only bring up that idea, and I understand handicapping Pedro with only 7 guys, but when we talk a little bit later about the actual bullpen makeup, there are some multi-inning guys, so maybe that would help Pedro in those situations. But he's a first-rounder. He is a guy that I think would make... as we see him pitch, I don't think it makes sense for him to go down to AAA, because if he's going to have limited bullets, why not use those on the actual major league team? I think there
because you're not playing for 2024. You're playing to have him be a workhorse for you in 2025. That would be my thought anyway.
Doesn't really seem like they're entertaining like sending him down to the minors, though. Because it was either, you know, he's going to be a starter or they're going to go, he's going to be in the bullpen.
It doesn't seem that way. Maybe he should be.
He pitched on Tuesday versus the Dodgers and then Sunday versus the Angels. So that's 5 games right there, 5 days. So he's scheduled to pitch then on Friday versus the Cleveland Guardians. So he didn't expand his role yet either. Like you were talking about, Vinny, like it was 2 innings and then it was 2 innings again. But it was filthy in those 2 innings. So I would say, like, yes, and I agree with Blank Name and Vinny. Like, they don't know what the plan is, but I think he's going to force some hands if he keeps on making Major League players look silly. Like, the side he struck out with the Angels, it was Mike Trout. He's decent. Like, he was just looking at a pitch. Rendon thought it was a ball. No, it's a strike. Get your ass out of here.
Well, and then, as we know, Rendon doesn't like showing up to work.
Yeah, he's just like, my family and my faith, and then baseball's third.
Family.
And then it was Taylor Ward, who was, you know, neither here nor there. But before that, it was Shohei Ohtani. So after a while, you're like, man, we need this weapon to be in somewhere. And you can't be that halfway, oh, he's a starter some days he's a reliever. Make a choice. And live with the choice. Either way, as Vinny said, as we all know, this year is a wash. Let people do things this year that are unorthodox. If you want to go to a 6-man rotation, or if you want to have Garrett Crochet throw 5 each of the, every 5th day, where he's replacing one of the other people, because you're going to have Cease 100% in the rotation, Fetty 100% in the rotation. If you want to, you know, give Michael a day off, have Garrett Crochet pitch that day that Michael was supposed to pitch, and then have him an extra day, because we know Michael Kopech on extra day's rest is a little bit better than he is with a regular rotation. So you can keep on doing that with Crochet, doing that for Kopech, and then Flexen, and maybe if you want Soroka, those three guys can just be, you know, sacrificial lambs for Crochet's development, because he's probably the most important besides Michael Kopech in the starting rotation moving forward.
Yeah, I think the unorthodox thing would be to have him pitch every 5 days, and I think too, like, maybe there is something if, you know, Fetty goes five. All Crochet needs to give you is three if you're winning at home, right? Like, is there a way that you could just save the bullpen in those days as well if Crochet is actually at his best? I don't know. I think what makes the most sense is put him in the minor leagues and let him be a starter for a month or whatever, because someone brought up the idea of, trading Cease. We think that's going to happen at some point this year, so a spot will open up. There probably isn't a rush to get Garrett Crochet into this spot. It's more just managing his health. Like, is there a 4-day IL? Like, after he pitches, can they just put him on the 4-day IL? Like,
no.
Like, I don't know. They might just have to, like, eat a roster spot to the Garrett Crochet project.
I do think that at the end of the day, the best thing for him, in my opinion, would be to go to the minor league so he could be a starter, because that's what you want him to be, right? I mean, I don't think, as we saw, having Michael Kopech do that halfway thing in 2021 where they made him a bullpen pitcher and he was very successful at that, it hasn't helped him become a great starting pitcher yet, right? And I'm not saying he has, you know, confusion or whatever from that year as a bullpen pitcher, but what good does it do Garrett Crochet's development to put him in against hitters who have already been in the game for a bit? Like, I mean, you're Herb, you always say, right, to practice like you're going to play.
Yep.
If the goal is to make him a starting pitcher, let him be a starting pitcher.
Thank you.
And if the idea is that he can't do it at the big league level, then let him do it at the minor league level. That being said, Garrett Crochet's really good. He's good enough to pitch in the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, and if you're going to let him be a starter, let him be a starter in the major leagues. That's what you were talking about. The whole go ahead and experiment. You know, let him be that starting pitcher where it might not be, you know, it might not go super well for him, mm-hmm, because he's still learning, because he's still developing. But let him do it at the major league level, because 2025, the end game is for him to be part of your rotation in 2025. Yeah. So what is the best way not to get him to be a major league starting pitcher by the end of this month, but what is the best way to get him to be a major league starting pitcher by the end of this year? And if that is send him to the minor leagues, then that's what you should do. If that's let him be a starter at the big league level, then that's what you should do. The bullpen thing to me feels like, nah, Garrett, you didn't get it done, and so now you're going back to the bullpen. Even if there is this whole, we're going to use you multiple innings at a time, we're going to use you in situations where we can keep you stretched out, it just seems to me from the way he's talking and the way he's acting, this is something he wants bad, is to be a starting pitcher. Don't say, nah, it didn't work, unless it doesn't work. You know, and if he shows you by the end of this camp that it's not going to happen and that he needs to be a bullpen arm, then have that conversation with him. That's what he does. But if it's just like, we don't have a spot for you, so I guess you're going back to the bullpen. Like, I don't know. Isn't there a way to continue the development track that doesn't involve that quote unquote step backward?
I guess. I mean, I also think, though, like, why does it matter as long as you're being used? You know, if they use you two innings in the sixth and seventh, why does that matter if it's the first and second? Like, I get it, but like,
because it's only two innings. That's why.
But he can't go six.
Why not?
They haven't seen him go six, but they haven't allowed him to go six.
Right. Nice. You have to get him to a point where he can go six. Like, if he throws two innings all year, every time out, is he going to be ready to be a starting pitcher by opening day next year?
Their process is to build him up. I'm just saying, like, right now, he's in no place to go out and throw six innings. So, like, I don't know what you do for him. Yeah,
right.
Even in April. Like, I don't think they can get him up to six innings by opening day. Like, maybe he could do three innings for you and start the game off going through the order once. But, like, the whole point is to manage him and to build him up. And usually you build people up in the minor leagues. Very famously, we know what happened in 2020, the whole entire world shut down. And Garrett Crochet didn't get to play in the minor leagues, and he's never been in the minor leagues. Just like basically the same thing happened with Andrew Vaughn, where he didn't get the chance to be in the minor leagues, and they just forced him into the majors. Like, I don't know. It just, it seems like you talked about being unique in this 2024, and it seems like you'll have to be extremely unique for Crochet. Maybe Flexen feels comfortable coming out of the bullpen, and you give Crochet, you know, the first time through the order, and then Flexen just tails him. Like, I don't know. And they have Toussaint too. He's thrown multiple innings. Shaw's thrown multiple innings. Davey Garcia, my guy, I know he's going to be closing, but he could throw multiple innings and close. You know, I don't know. It's just, it feels like they'll have to get creative, and I don't think they will.
But what about them continuing what they're doing right now, where they don't see spring training as the limiting force? They don't see that, okay, if you don't do it by March 27th, you're bullpen or you're a starter in the minor leagues. We're going to continue this. And as Vinny said, the most important thing by October is that Garrett Crochet is thought to be in the rotation in 2025. And so they continue this slow stretching out of Garrett Crochet. And so by July, he's a guy that can go five innings comfortably. And then they can just adjust that way instead of trying to rush him in spring training to throw five innings on your first start. Let's go. Where he's never done that in any professional level, where it's probably going to cause arm problems and his body's not going to probably respond to it well. So if they could just stretch this out, as I said, it's an experimental year to do this. Might as well do it. Who's it hurting? Who's on that staff is like, hey, not that that kid can't take my spot.
Well, those guys are saying that. I think what you're saying is
they might say
you're
it,
saying
Flexen
is,
or Soroka.
No, I think you're saying is who are the White Sox seeing is like, oh no, we have to have them out there because
exactly.
In place of Garrett Crochet. I can guarantee you because I know Michael Soroka stood up in front of us all and said, this is a clubhouse full of guys who are fighting for their careers. I guarantee you there's a bunch of guys who are like, I want a shot to do what I know I can do right now rather than you having to, you know, teach Garrett Crochet how to throw five innings every fifth day.
And I know Kopech, you brought up the thing on him on 6 days of rest. I was trying to look up and just see stats. For his career, when he's on 5 days of rest and starting the game, a 3.03 ERA. I don't know why people want to put him in the bullpen. 4 days of rest, 5.23. 6 days plus, 5.5. And last year, too, when he got 6+ days of rest and started the game, a 10.38 ERA. When he was on 5 days, 3.64.
It's got to be specifically 5 days.
I guess. I don't know. I mean,
those guys are creatures of habit. There's no doubt about it. And I think that's why Garrett is making the comments that he's making down there, looking forward to being on that schedule, because so many other guys have used it very much to their advantage. Michael Kopech is one who's talked about it. Lucas Giolito, who, you know, some news about him today, he's one of those guys who very much benefits from being on that schedule. It allows them to focus. A guy like Dylan Cease seems like you could wake him up at 2 o'clock in the morning and he'd be as focused as he would be at 7 p.m. But, you know, for a lot of other players, that's very much helped them out. And I think certainly Garrett's been teammates with two of the guys that I mentioned that – they've probably told him, like, yeah, this is the key. This is part of the key to my success is I have this routine down pat, and I know that it helps me perform on day five.
Yeah, and I don't get taking him off that schedule. So that's why if I had to vote what the plan is, I think even though it might limit Pedro, it's going to be resting of 5 days, and then we'll see Garrett Crochet. Because when he rests 5 days and you see him pitch, I know it's only been two outings here, but oh, my God, I want to give that guy all the chance in the world to succeed.
And he's throwing 100 past people. I don't know if he could do that as a starter, though. That's a little rough. But if he can, oh, my God.
That's the thing, though, is he's still in bullpen roles.
Yes.
He's still in bullpen outings. He's going out and facing six guys, and he's going out throwing as hard as he can, and it's seemingly like emptying the tank. Mm-hmm. So he's not going to be a guy that will work well if you have him in the bullpen and then throw him out on 3 days of rest because he just won't be ready.
But he's also pitching a lot different than he did in 2021, too. This is not the guy we saw in 21 when he was pitching out of the bullpen. And he was very good that year, but he was pitching differently. This is more akin to 2020, right? When he was just chucking.
No, seriously. Yeah. Like, I mean, well, he said, I think it was to somebody down there in spring training. I don't know if it was you or not, but like he said, like, the COVID year gave me enough time to warm up on the backfields where I could never recreate that again, and I don't think I'll ever hit 100. And here he is just hitting 100. Like, what are you, you liar. You dirty, dirty liar, Garrett Crochet. I wouldn't have taken him in the 11th overall pick because he's a liar. Let's take a break. We'll let you know about our friends over at Empire Today. 588-2300 Empire. I didn't give Herb a lead.
We were a little pitchy, dog, on that one. I
with Empire today, you get shop at home convenience, the right product for your needs, quick and professional installation, and a low price guarantee. Empire today is the best place to get new flooring, so of course they have copycats, but Empire cannot be beaten on their quality, service, and speed. So competitors advertise low quality products that Empire simply won't carry. Empire won't promise the lowest prices because anyone who does is putting flooring in your home that they wouldn't put in theirs. Empire keeps shopping for floors simple with a curated product selection, and their philosophy is to find you or is to help you find what you need and not overwhelm you with thousands of choices and substitutes. What they leave out of their selection is just as important as what they put in, and their product team exhaustively combs through thousands and thousands of product samples each year to find the perfect styles for your home. And you can check out those styles with the virtual floor designer. It's a great way to see how new floors will look in any space. It's easy. Just snap a picture and instantly see how new floors will look in your room. So schedule a free in-home estimate today with the experts over at Empire. All listeners can receive a $350 off discount when they use promo code CHGO. Restrictions apply. See empiretoday.com/CHGO for details. Again, all listeners can receive a $350 off discount when they use promo code CHGO. See empiretoday.com/CHGO for details.
CHGO White Sox crew has three takeovers this year scheduled already. May 27th, Memorial Day versus KPW's Toronto Blue Jays. June 24th, when we see the Dodgers come here to Guaranteed Rate, Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, Teoscar Hernandez, and the Dodgers getting struck out by Garrett Crochet on that day. Or August 9th versus Cody Bellinger and the Cubs. Fireworks to follow that day. The seats for those games will be in section 147 down the third baseline. So what you need to do to become with us is to go to allchgo.com right now and get yourself one of those tickets, if not all three of those. And remember, if you are a diehard member, you get 20% off of all takeovers like this, all events, all t-shirts, all hats, all cups. So if you want to become a diehard member so you get access to Vinny's latest, greatest thing in the newsletter where he previews and has clips for every single player and rundowns of every single player, the season guide right there. Become a diehard member. You have access to that. So you have so many good opportunities and things that give you, you know, once you pay for it, you get it paid back to you immediately. Well, you can get a shirt like this, like I'm wearing right now, the Connor Bedard shirt, 20% off. Or you can get a shirt like Sean has on right now, part of the CHGO Chicago collection with the St. Patrick's green, the big Chicago flag, and the CHGO lettering on the bottom, or any of those beautiful shirts, that pizza one. If I was a hoodie guy, I would get that damn pizza one. That one looks great.
I got both.
But I got the Second City one up there in gray where the second is cut off or marked off because this is the city. Better than any city in the world. I had to tell Courtney why they call it the Second City.
Why do they call it the Second City?
Well, the fire, firstly. The first city was the first city, and it burned. And now this is the Second City, and also our thing to New York. New York being the number one for a long time, and now the Chicago being number two. But we're number two to no one. If you've been to both cities, you know that we're better than New York. So we are the city. So become a diehard member today, allchgo.com. Go there right now and become a diehard member. You get access to our Discord. You get, like I said, the season preview guide from Vinny. You get to talk to all of us, and you get 20% off of all merch, all events, all those good things. So allchgo.com, become a diehard today. Thank you.
And somehow you missed something. You also have White Sox Weekly, CHGO White Sox Weekly, where Vinny gets to...
Every Monday, right?
Yeah, every Monday. Vinny puts out the newsletter that you can check out. And Matt Cortese, I believe he is a diehard, so he's asking the wrong question. Gavin Sheets, our starting right fielder. Buddy, you're a diehard. Go check out CHGO White Sox Weekly. Vinny lets you know who the starting right fielder is. I got some disagreements with Vin on who will be on the starting roster, so we'll have a little chat on that in the next 10 minutes, and then we'll wrap up and be here again tomorrow at 5 p.m. First off, very important that we start off with this. Crazy position battle. The most heated position battle. I think this is going to be tomorrow's headline. Lenin Sosa versus Danny Mendick. I think Danny Mendick has the upper hand.
Because?
He's shown the ability to play the outfield. I know it's in a pinch, and you don't want Danny Mendick to play in the outfield, but he's a guy that's pretty versatile that can even expand his play to not only shortstop, second base, third base, but also the corner outfields. I don't think Lenin Sosa can do that, and I think Danny Mendick gives you at least more of a better baseline of averageness. Lenin Sosa, I think, still has things to check off. I think he still has things that he can work on. Maybe he's getting pushed out because of Colson Montgomery being in Charlotte. I think it's probably better for the Sox to just have Mendick be on the team than Lenin Sosa fail and get, you know, like, what, 25 at-bats in the first 2 months and just do what Lenin Sosa has been doing. Like, I think consistent play is probably best for Lenin Sosa. Danny Mendick can be on those bench and be faced with, you know, those pinch opportunities where you need a guy.
Sure. I think, you know, certainly White Sox fans, and for very good reason, remember back to when the last time they saw Danny Mendick in a White Sox uniform, and he was playing very, very well before he had his ACL torn in that collision in the outfield. But if you go back and look what he did last year on the Mets, not good. And that extends to his minor league play as well. The offense was just not there. Now, certainly, if you've watched this show for any number of years, or I guess the last 2 years, you know that I have not been impressed at all with what Lenin Sosa has done at the major league level. That being said, you get a little bit more power from Lenin Sosa than you do from Danny Mendick. Danny Mendick just might not be able to recapture that magic anymore that he had for, again, what was admittedly a very short amount of time, but it did look good. That, though, maybe turning some glasses rose-colored, you know, in terms of what you're talking about. I think that Lenin Sosa gives you the same positional versatility on the infield, you know, able to play second, short, and third base. We obviously... that position battle extends past those two guys, whether you're talking about Braden Shumake or Jose Rodriguez or even Zach Remillard. Those guys all have various points in their favor. I think Remillard certainly is worth mentioning because we know he can do all those little things that Pedro Grifol is probably looking for this year. But none of those guys, none of them are impressive with the bat in any way. They do not give you any confidence that they're going to be an offensive contributor. So at the end of the day, I think that it is who has the most tools in their toolbox, probably. I put Lenin Sosa on there because power hitting is one that maybe he has over some of the other guys. But I think, you know, don't sleep on Remillard too, because if you remember back to the interview that I had with Pedro Grifol, and I said, what are you guys looking for in spring training? Because if you don't care what the stats are in spring training games, what are you looking for? And he said, what is the total number of things that you can do to help this team on a daily basis? I don't know that I'm hitting is probably not one of the things that any of those guys have. So you have to go beyond that.
Hey, but you saw what Remillard did.
Home run. Then a bunt.
Then laid down the bunt. Selfless.
It's Zach Selfless. Remillard. It's the Zach Remillard story right there.
That's the S in fast, guys.
Yeah. I was thinking also that Remillard has to be put back on the 40-man rotation.
Correct.
40-man. So more than likely, like, I would think that he would be more adept to what the White Sox are looking to do this year. So I would say that he would have the inside track if he wasn't already off of the 40-man. So, yeah, I would probably agree with you, Vinny, on that, where Lenin Sosa can run into one. And that's what he's been doing in his minor league career, hitting home runs. And that's why we're impressed with him a couple years ago. But when he gets to the major leagues, some barrier of him hitting home runs and striking out, because it's not the same. He's that classic 4A player so far. And, yeah, I love Danny Mendick. But I think, as it was just a flash in the pan. He played a lot that year because I think Tim was hurt in the middle of the season. But he did a really good job that year. But I don't know if that guy is a real guy. I think that guy was just for that season.
Lenin also, only 24, just turned 24 in January, so that could be the other thing too. It's just he's a little bit too green. I'm surprised he even had 12 extra base hits. He had 6 doubles and 6 homers with the White Sox last year in 52 games. I'm even surprised he had that many. I could not recall a Lenin Sosa homer.
That jumped out at me when I looked at the stats. I'm like, he hit 6 home runs?
When?
Is he on the team long enough to have hit 6 home runs?
I think he had one in Kansas City. That was like a bomb, but that was about it. And two, you bring up Mendick's numbers in AAA in Syracuse. I thought they were going to be worse. 793 OPS, 18 doubles, 11 homers, pretty even walk to strikeout ratio. So I think Mendick, you know, maybe being 29, they just want to give Sosa more opportunity because he's only 24.
And like you said, with, you know, roster realities, right? Lenin Sosa can just go back to AAA.
Right.
It's no big deal if he just goes to AAA, and then they could just bring him up in however many weeks' time if they need him.
Right, and that Charlotte team's looking really interesting. You got all the guys in the rotation, like Nastrini, Bush, Jonathan Cannon, Colson Montgomery, likely Brian Ramos, maybe Lenin Sosa. It should be fun there.
Ortega.
Who? Oh, Rafael Ortega.
But of course.
Braden Shumake going to play?
Corey Lee. I don't know.
Oscar Colas at first base, apparently.
Yeah, well, so I'll bring him up in a second. Should we just go to that one? Why don't we go to that one? Moustakas versus Sheets versus Colas. You end up having Moustakas.
Well, I don't. No, no. Colas would be in the other group. Would be in the outfield. Kevin Pillar, who's the Rafael Ortega group, I would think.
I have Pillar versus Colas as well, but I also wanted to be a little bit cheeky and throw him in just because of the first base flexibility. But if they are looking for a lefty power bat, you don't think Colas would be considered because of his ability, quote unquote, to play first base in the corner? Like, you don't think that there's maybe more pop in that bat than Moustakas or Sheets?
I mean, maybe equivalent. I mean, Oscar Colas was awful at hitting in the major leagues last year. Yes. He did have some extra base hits. It's not like he was just striking out every time he walked to the plate. But he struck out a lot of the times he walked to the plate. And I think, is his own case. I don't think they're comparing him to anybody else at this point. I think they see what he did last year and they say, that guy needs time in the minor leagues to work on things. Remember, they were talking about him getting game reps in winter ball this year. He didn't play winter ball this year. So the first game reps that he's getting are exhibition games, Cactus League. The first games that count reps that he's going to get are not going to be at the major league level. They need him to go down to AAA and iron out a lot of stuff, prove without a doubt that he deserves another shot at this, not just, oh, he's doing some things better. He needs to master everything down there in every aspect of the game. He needs to play a little differently, too. I don't think it's about, oh, is he better than Gavin Sheets? Oh, is he better than Mike Moustakas? I think it's, is he better than 2023 Oscar Colas? And they're not going to know that until he plays at minor league baseball.
And also, too, it's like, how can a person like Oscar Colas, who struggled mightily at the major league level last year, where he got an ample amount of time to play in his first stint and then the second stint, like how would he deal with what would be a strictly reserve role as a major league player? Like Mike Moustakas has done that the last couple of years. Not well, but he's done it. And Gavin Sheets has done that too. I think that White Sox would want more exposure for Oscar Colas to go down to the minors and just go ahead and get me 500 at-bats. And if you turn into the Oscar Colas that we saw in 22, baby, we could have an option for you if Dominic Fletcher or Deloach are not doing the things. And we can see if you can come to the major leagues and be the guy that we thought you were last year instead of being on the bench and barely getting any playing time and then just, you know, wasting a roster spot there.
And I'll be honest, sure, be as versatile as you want to be, but, like, there's no opportunity to play first base on this team.
No.
Like, Oscar Colas was touted as a positive defensive presence in right field. The White Sox are still looking for a successful right fielder. They hope that it's Dominic Fletcher. But if it's not, Oscar Colas can step in and take that job. I mean, is it a big deal if Oscar Colas is promoted over Dominic Fletcher in July?
Absolutely not.
Like, if he's the best guy, put him there. But he's not taking any playing time away from Andrew Vaughn.
And he's only 26, right? Oscar Colas? So still relatively young.
25. Yeah,
won't be
26 until September 17th, so a late birthday. 141 games played by Vaughn at first base. So, I mean, maybe there's 20 games right there to fill in at first base.
That's Gavin Sheets time right there.
Not much. I guess it's Sheets. You had Moustakas. I don't know. I think, again, going back to our conversation from last week, I think that Moustakas is a fairly beatable foe. Like, I would have been more interested if they brought in, like, Greg Bird or Dom Smith, like, guys who are actually fighting for something and haven't had, like, a true MLB career, like, a guy that is in his age range. Like, Moustakas is close to the light at the end of the tunnel. Because he's 36, of course.
Rest in peace, Moustakas.
Wow, I've only got a couple years left.
Yeah, he's tough. I'm living on borrowed time right now.
He's been really bad. Like, I get that there's a veteran aspect to it, but, like, I don't know. It's really not. It's he must be, like, one hell of a leader to be considered for that spot, I think.
Oh, I go back to the Pedro comment that I referenced when we were talking about Zach Remillard, and I say, Pedro Grifoldt knows every last thing that Mike Moustakas can bring to this team. And I'm not saying he doesn't know what Gavin Sheets can do, but if you need a guy that's where Pedro says, I need you to go do job X, he can be confident that Moustakas is going to do it just because he knows exactly what he's going to get from him. I think that the stuff in the clubhouse is a positive. This is a team that's trying to give the culture a makeover as well as everything that's happening on the field. So I don't think that's nothing. I mentioned last week that Moustakas is already holding court in the clubhouse and you know, really getting the attention of a lot of the players around him. Now, again, you got to play well. You can't just be like, oh well, I've got two hits, but hey, boy, I got some good stories for the clubhouse. You have to be able to do that. But that option, Gavin Sheets can go back down to the minor leagues, and if Mike Moustakas goes 0 for April, Gavin Sheets can be on the first plane out of Charlotte.
But he's not on the 40-man Moustakas, so they'd have to make some move.
Correct.
I mean, there's Peyton Burdick.
Yeah, there's some guys on the 40-man that don't need to be there. Yeah,
I don't know. That's the other thing too with Mendick. Mendick's not on the 40-man. Yeah. So would that be a thing? Just to go back to the Lenin Sosa thing, because I don't think there's too much on the Gavin thing, unless you know. I mean, he's also had a lot of. Not, I know people have seen the home runs, and his I think his OPS is something like 11, like 1.1100. So Gavin's been very good, but also it's 3 walks to 4 strikeouts. Like he's been fairly commanding of the plate as well.
And let's not discount the fact that if Gavin Sheets is awesome in spring training, if he's made the changes that are going to help him become the guy that they thought he was going to be, then they say, hey, Mike, thanks for being here for spring training. We're giving it to Gavin Sheets. I know that the White Sox brass, because they've said it over and over again, do not put as much weight into spring training stats as we do, right? Because that's what we see. They're looking at everything else. And I also know that the Gavin Sheets that we saw during the regular season in each of the last 2 years was not a guy that instilled a lot of confidence that he could be a routinely called upon guy to do something important off the, or to, let's say this, to deliver something important off the bench. I'm not saying Mike Moustakas would do better at that, but if we're splitting hairs here, I'm not sure that Gavin Sheets has the, he's a much better hitter box checked, right? Because he hasn't impressed, at least last year he did not.
Yeah. But I mean, hey, I'll take a 6'5 Matt Stairs if he's ready to, come out of a shell. We also don't remember where were you for the 9-day run of Lenin Sosa's 4 of his 6 home runs last year on August 20th, 25th, 26th, and 29th. He had a home run. And I don't remember that at all.
Late August of last year's 101 loss season.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we were like focusing on they fired Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams this month. That's,
I guess,
awesome.
Hey, but yeah, I mean, once Rick Hahn got fired, Lenin Sosa hit 4 of his 6 home runs. So maybe he just wasn't a Rick Hahn guy.
But didn't hit any after Chris Getz got promoted. Is that correct?
No.
He had 2 after that.
Yeah, no, August 25th, 26th, 29th, and 30th. Oh, yeah,
August 31st was when Chris was introduced.
Okay, so he thought he was going to be GM.
He liked, yeah,
he was trying to hit as many home runs.
Lenin Sosa's like, Jerry, I can do the job, man.
I can hit him out. All right, the final one, we're going to go to the bullpen battle. You had Tuki Toussaint and Alex Spies making the team. I think maybe, just maybe, and this could change with Crochet, because we just had this conversation.
Notably, for those who haven't read this yet, I did not include Garrett in my 26-man opening day roster.
You didn't?
Right.
I was wondering who you left out.
Yes.
It was Garrett Crochet. So you think he should be in the minors?
I mean, if it was
as
me,
a starter.
I don't run a baseball team, so right. It's, my opinion is, what it's worth. But I would think that if they get to the end of the spring and he's showing, if he's on the right track to becoming a starter, you should continue to build him up to be a starter and not a reliever.
I agree with you. Yes. So with that, like if Crochet is not on the opening day roster and they do have him as a starter in Charlotte, I'll be thrilled. But if he's in the bullpen, I guess I understand. Cause again, like why waste any pitch if he's throwing over 100, cause no one's going to hit it and it'd be really cool to watch. But Toussaint, I don't know. Like he's not really a bullpen guy. He has thrown out of the bullpen, and he can give you multiple innings, but is he a guy that you would trust to be in that scenario on 3 days rest and coming off 25 pitches and you want to throw him in? He's not also a Bannister guy, but he's survived the Brian Bannister offseason of purging pitchers. But is he actually a guy that Brian Bannister wants around? Spies we know is, but he's a little bit green. I think Corey Knebel has shown in like major league performance before, has been an all-star. I think if he's looking right, and we haven't seen a ton from him just yet.
He's behind schedule a little bit health-wise, yeah.
Yeah, no, he hasn't pitched yet. If he does go out and impress, I think that could be a guy that makes the opening day roster over a guy like Alex Spies. And then Justin Anderson keeps being brought up by Ethan Katz.
Katz keeps talking him up.
He looks kind of sick. He's got a 95-mile-per-hour fastball and like an 89-mile-per-hour slider.
Hasn't pitched in the majors in 5 years.
Let's go. That's fun. Let's bring him back. Where was he? He was being blackballed probably by Major League.
He's in the minors.
Yeah, no, right. I was just joking.
Oh, I thought like it was like a story. Like he went to be a teacher, no. And his kid's like, oh, you should be a starting pitcher again.
No, this is Coach the rookie with Dennis Quaid.
That's what it was.
Oh yeah, and I don't know.
Like I don't know. I think the Toussaint pick for the bullpen is basically, I think someone that misses out on a rotation spot is going to end up in the bullpen as a long man. And when you look at the other guys who might miss out on those spots, you can say, oh, Nick Mastrini, he should be a starter at AAA. Oh, you know, there's all those young guys should be started at AAA. Ooh, maybe if you're a vet, maybe there's just not room for you here. Tuki Toussaint seems like he would be that guy who hangs around, delivers what he can out of the bullpen, and then as soon as there's an injury, he just steps in. Yeah. He could be a spot starter. You know, I think Tanner Banks maybe becomes less of that guy and more of one of the two lefties that they need in that bullpen. And so I think Toussaint maybe becomes that, for lack of a better term, swing man, even though, like you said, he doesn't maybe have a lot of experience doing that.
They do even have Chad Kuhl too. So, I mean, if they do get rid of Toussaint, have an injury, maybe they go down to the minor leagues and try to figure that out. All right. That should do it for the CHGO White Sox podcast. That's going to wrap it up. We'll be back tomorrow at 5 p.m. for more White Sox talk. You also included Tanner Banks in that roster thing. I didn't realize this. He had 32 appearances, 20 of them last year went over an inning or more. So he's a guy that really can just give you a ton of work when he can. So I think he's likely to make the team. But anyways, that's going to do it for the CHGO White Sox podcast. Thank you to Sarah for producing the show. Thank you to Ravi, even though he's a Cubs fan, still liking the video. Make sure you hit the thumbs up button. Make sure you subscribe. As Sarah mentioned earlier, as Vin Diesel, family. We're a family here at CHGO.
Family.
Thank you.
I just saw that movie.
For the first time?
I know, I'm late, but family.
But like the 10th one or like the first one?
No, the first one. Yeah, I've never seen any of them.
You're caught up. You that's all you need to know.
Okay.
Well, they get ridiculous after that.
Okay.
What, you didn't think that they should be like fighting the U.S. government on car moving trailers and
jumping cars off of cliffs and then grabbing it on a line and then swinging it to safety? Yeah, not very realistic.
That sounds awesome.
It does, but it's not very realistic. Vin Diesel.
That's our in-house movie expert, Herb Lawrence. You can follow him at Eckernball23. That's Vinny Duber. You can follow him at Vinny Duber. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. Follow the show at CHGO_White Sox. We'll see you tomorrow at 5. Goodbye. We all silly like the mayor.